How you doing again, everybody? This is Chuck Freeman joining us in studio, the president and CEO of the Special Needs Planning LLC. It's Bob Johnson. Bob Johnson joining us here in studio. Mr. Johnson, appreciate you joining us here and talking about your group. And what is the Special Needings, the Special Needs Planning LLC? What is your company?
Thanks, Chuck. It's good to be here with you. Special Needs Planning LLC is an organization that serves the special needs community. I work very closely with families that have kids with special needs to help them do financial planning for their future. But then we also work closely with 501c3 organizations to help those organizations help themselves as well.
Okay. Well, what are some of the things you get into with these guys?
Oh, boy, there's a bunch of different things. Are you talking specifically about the families or the organizations?
Families.
The families, predominantly that work is more estate planning. There is a federal law that says that anybody that is looking for government benefit can't have assets of more than $2,000 in their name. Mm-hmm. Now, we see that law as it relates to our parents. When they're going to be checking into a nursing home, some people have heard this concept called the spend down theory. And what that spend down theory says is that if you're looking for some sort of Medicaid support, you can't have assets of more than $2,000. Well, that law also applies to our kids with special needs. So what I do is help families understand strategies of how we can build good quality of life and lifetime of care sorts of issues for children while, keeping that law in mind, because we want to make sure, again, that they get good quality of life and lifetime of care support.
Tell me how you became an advocate for families of children with special needs and how you came to build your practice around that.
Well, I guess the roots of my advocacy can be traced back to two separate events that occurred probably about 30 years apart. Mm-hmm. Back the evening of August 23rd, 1975, I was standing in between some parallel parked cars waiting to go across the street into a pub with some friends of mine. Mm-hmm. And a drunk driver ran her car into the first of the parked cars, pushing them together. So I laid on the ground for about 45 minutes to an hour or so before I went to the emergency room.
Oh.
And in the first hospital that they took me to that night, they wanted to amputate my legs. And so I decided that I'd rather have a second opinion and got moved to another hospital. And they decided to give me a shot. And eventually my right leg was in a cast for 14 months. And then followed by another 6 months in a full leg brace. So I got a pretty good idea of what life was like for the physically disabled through all of that.
So you didn't have to amputate?
No, they didn't. No, neither one.
Oh, my God. So they wanted to.
Worked out.
They wanted to do. What was wrong? I mean, was it just so badly crushed that they?
Yeah, the right, in my right lower leg, the tibia and the fibula were both broken up pretty good. The right heel was fractured. My right ankle was pretty decimated.
So when
my
they were going to amputate,
was blown out.
When he amputated, they thought there was no chance of recovery. I mean, that's some.
Well, yeah, they thought pretty much that my right leg was gone. My lower right leg was gone. But the doctors at the other hospital that had known of my athletic background decided that they'd be able to give me a shot. So we moved out of the first hospital. They put me back in the ambulance and moved me over to someplace else. And they did the first surgery that night. I spent 3 years, three months in traction. And then from there, gradually got into a wheelchair and learned to walk.
Wow, what an amazing story. Did you ever think about going back to that old doctor who told you that he was going to amputate and get his license pulled? My goodness, that's a big change.
I was pretty happy that these guys decided to give me a chance. I had a very good friend who we grew up together skiing.
Yeah.
And at the second hospital, I told the doctor that if he gave me a chance, I was going to go skiing with my friend out in Utah in 4 years. And he kind of laughed at me and said, well, we'll give you a shot. I don't know about the skiing, but we'll give you a shot. But 4 years later to that winter, I was going up the lift in Utah.
One more question. How are you doing now after all those years?
I've got two more surgeries to go.
And this happened when again?
1975.
And you still are having surgeries?
Yeah, yeah. The next surgery is to replace my right ankle.
Uh-huh.
But in order to do that, they need to replace the metal rod that holds my lower leg together.
Yeah.
It's called an osteotomy, where they go in and they'll re-break that leg, clean it all out.
Even 38 years later.
30 years later.
Yeah.
And then after that initial surgery, I'm on my back for 3 weeks recuperating, and then I go back in for the ankle replacement. So I'll be out for probably close to about 6 months on that. But then about 30 years later, my son, who was born in 2003, in 2005, he was diagnosed on the autism spectrum. So my advocacy was rooted initially in a feeling for the physically disabled, but then as I became a parent, it became, you know, pretty apparent that this was something that I was supposed to do.
Wow. Okay. Bob Johnston is joining us. He's from the Special Needs Planning LLC, joining us. And you talked a little bit about autism. We've done that as a topic here on this show, but tell me more about it.
Well, autism, as you know, Chuck, is a spectrum disorder. So there are varying degrees, so to speak, of severity. Probably the two most common extremes would be Asperger's syndrome. That was kind of popularized a few years ago by the actress Claire Danes in a movie where she portrayed a woman named Temple Grandin. Temple is probably the autism community's most notable person. I guess maybe Bill Gates, too. Some people say that he has Asperger's syndrome as well. But Temple, you know, grew up on a farm and is now responsible for cattle handling and things like that. She's really quite an individual, very inspirational. But she has a disorder called Asperger's syndrome, which is a much more high-functioning level of autism. The other end of the spectrum would probably be most recognizable in the character Raymond, which is Dustin Hoffman's character in the movie Rain Man a few years ago.
Okay. All right. How has your practice positively affected the special needs community?
Well, I guess I'd like to say that I've helped a lot of families, but I think the real credit goes to the parents for taking the time to investigate the best ways to take care of their children and preparing for the possibility that one day they may not be around to take care of the children themselves. So I get into talking about that $2,000 law that we spoke of and do a lot of work in terms of estate planning to help people understand what's the best way to go about planning. Specifically as it relates to estate planning, there are different types of trusts that come into play in estate planning. And I work with, I don't actually develop the trust, I'm the financial side of the equation. But I provide counsel to the parents so that they get a better understanding of how these things work, because typically the attorney works by the hour and I don't charge consultation fees. So the end game is that we want to create an irrevocable trust that is designed to supplement what the government is providing in terms of benefit. But it has to be a particular kind of trust called an irrevocable trust, so that when the assets are placed into the trust for the benefit of the child, those assets cannot be pulled back out again. So that's kind of the difference between a revocable trust versus an irrevocable trust. And I work with in developing irrevocable trusts. Also, a key word in that title would be supplementary, in that the assets that are put into the trust are used to supplement government benefit and not replace government benefit. But probably the most important element of all this is that the beneficiary of the trust is just that, the beneficiary of the trust as opposed to the owner of the trust.
Okay.
Because now we have a clear legal distinction between owner and beneficiary. And if one is the owner of the trust and they have well over that $2,000 limit, then they lose that eligibility for government benefits. So the child then is listed as the beneficiary of the trust, which then allows them to maintain eligibility for government benefit. And then we can load all sorts of assets into that trust well above the $2,000 limit. And then those assets are used to supplement the government benefit and help to ensure a better quality of life and lifetime of care for the child.
Tell me more about the need for financial planning.
Well, I think a lot of that need is based on this $2,000 federal law. The problem is that we live in a society where there is a consistent struggle between need and affordability. We need to be able to fix the car. We need to be able to get groceries. We need to be able to take care of the kids. Maybe the kids have a special diet or need other therapies, but we can't necessarily afford to be able to do all the things that we need to do. So working with, I guess that situation is further complicated by this $2,000 federal law.
Mm-hmm.
So developing this particular type of trust allows the family to better prepare and, I guess, have a greater sense of control over the future of the child.
What is the driving influence behind that effort?
I think a lot of it is that $2,000 federal law.
Mm-hmm.
We really need to be more conscious as parents that we go about doing the planning that's appropriate to make sure that in the future you're not endangering the eligibility of your child. But I think the driving influence is parents wanting to do what is best for their kids.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what obviously got me involved in it from an advocacy standpoint, was understanding what it's like to be in a wheelchair and learn how to walk and understanding what it's like to be a parent. When we originally got that diagnosis, our world changed.
Do a lot of different counseling techniques,
yeah,
I guess.
So yeah,
can you get in some of that?
Well, I work real closely with a variety of organizations. I'm on the board of directors for the Autism Society of Wisconsin. I do special needs planning workshops for the Autism Society, for United Cerebral Palsy, Down Syndrome Association of Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Upside Down Foundation, and most of those types of organizations have parent support groups that will have me in to do an estate planning workshop. In fact, I'm doing one tonight up at Washington County up in West Bend. But then I also lead a national study group for Principal Financial Group that is designed to help other financial advisors across the system develop this discipline as part of their practice.
Talking to Bob Johnston, he's the president and CEO of the Special Needs Planning LLC. If you're just joining us on this interview, Bob, why don't you kind of recap some of the things what your company does?
We work very closely with families that have kids with special needs to make sure that those children are going to be taken care of in the future through appropriate estate planning techniques. But then from there, my company also provides a comprehensive service of suites to the 501c3 community, such as employer-sponsored retirement plans, group benefits such as life and disability insurance. But then we also work more closely with the 501c3 organization itself through our charitable giving and wealth management services programs.
Mm-hmm.
For example, with the charitable giving, we've got a presentation called Ensuring Your Legacy that can be presented to their constituency in hopes of helping them build more charitable giving to the organization. And then through the wealth management services program, they receive customized asset allocation solutions that give them a little bit more confidence in knowing that their assets for the organization are more professionally managed.
How much does it cost for a family to work with you?
I don't charge consultation fees.
Not at all?
No. It's very important to me to be a resource that everybody has access to. And given this rub between need and affordability, I know that a lot of families are stretched. And, these are tough economic times. And if they're worried about having to spend $250 an hour to sit down and talk with Bob Johnston, mm-hmm. there's all sorts of uses for that $250. Maybe the child has to be on a casein-free diet, or maybe they need special therapies, or they have doctor bills, or, the washing machine just broke, or they have to get groceries or something. Well, I don't want to get caught in that struggle between need and affordability.
Mm-hmm.
If they feel as though they're concerned about having to spend money to come and talk to me, then I want to take that out of the way, because ultimately it affects the child and the services that go to the child. And so I've decided that I don't charge consultation fees as a result.
Your group, Special Needs Planning LLC, works with a lot of different organizations. Can
yes.
you explain that?
Yes, we do. We do it in a couple of different ways, as I said. We work specifically with the families that are the constituency for those organizations,
mm-hmm.
to do workshops and do individual counseling with those families to make sure that the kids are going to be taken care of. But also we'll work with that organization specifically to help better them through our charitable mm-hmm. giving programs or through our wealth management services. But then we also provide a pretty comprehensive suite of services for their group benefits, for their employees and stuff too.
Back to the first consultation, if I have a family, how does that work? Give me a little example how that will work.
Well, typically people will be invited to one of my workshops from one of those 501c3 organizations, or mm-hmm. for that matter, they could go to my website And on my website is a video of my special needs planning workshop. It used to be up on YouTube, but it became the number one hit on YouTube for Special Needs Planning LLC, or for Special Needs Planning generically, I guess I should say. And so I was asked to take that down because compliance didn't want to send people to that environment in YouTube, so they had me put it on my website instead. But
okay.
At any rate, people generally learn about me through a workshop that I do, and then we'll set up a time that's convenient for them to come into my office.
And do you have any workshops? You're talking about the one.
I'm doing one tonight, as a matter of fact.
What about the ones in the next couple coming weeks? You know any dates offhand?
In April, I think it is, the Autism Society of Wisconsin is having their state conference at the Kalahari Resort, and I'll be speaking at that.
It's a beautiful resort.
Yeah, it is. It's a nice event.
So you're going to be there?
The kids love it. I'll be there.
What's the name of the website?
My website is www.snp, Special Needs Planning, snp-llc.com. Or people can obviously call me at the office.
Okay.
And that phone number is 414-203-1932. But it's probably easiest for everybody just to go to my website, and then they can get a better idea of the services that we provide and if they want to watch the workshop and things like that. But then initially when I get together with the people, we go through their letter of intent, which is I kind of bill it as the owner's manual for the child. There's going to come a time when us as parents aren't around to take care of the kids. Mm-hmm. And this letter of intent helps us to document what the concerns are, what it is that, you know, makes that child tick, so that those notes then go to the next caregiver.
Bob, any final thoughts here? We got about a minute. Anything that we didn't cover here that you want to get out there?
Yeah, I just want to thank you for taking the time to have me in, Chuck. Okay. I think it's important, obviously, that we keep parents informed on how they can go about doing appropriate planning to make sure that their kids are being taken care of, and I appreciate your effort to do that.
Your workshops, they can find them on your website.
They can call me. They can, probably the best way is just to give me a call at the office, and we can talk about other workshops that I'm doing.
Where are you located? Where's your office?
Roughly Highway 100 and Watertown Plank Road in Milwaukee County Research Park.
Okay. By Children's Hospital out that way.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. And they get available, so you do evening appointments too?
I'll do evening appointments. I try and reserve the weekend to be with my family, but I'll do evening appointments. I try and schedule myself around the availability of the parents just to make
sure. Plus you're doing these workshops. How long are the workshops? How long do they last?
With questions, maybe an hour and a half. You know, the workshop itself is about 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, but it varies because it generally stimulates a lot of questions. So we end up having kind of a nice roundtable discussion after it as well.
Very cool. Hey, Bob, thanks a lot for stopping by.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks a lot. We'll talk to you in the future.
Okay.
Bob Johnston, he's the president and CEO of Special Needs Planning LLC. Again, you go to his workshop, give him a call at his phone number, 414-203-1932. So long, everybody.